Am I good? All right. Can everybody hear me? All right. So it's been a blessing so far to be with you guys. And it's a great encouragement, especially to see every single night this church just packed. Every single service has just been awesome. I'm excited for you guys as you guys move off. I just want to share a little conversation I had with one of your guys' members this week. I told Pastor about it yesterday, and I told Pastor McIntyre about it. But on Sunday, I was talking, where's Miss Betty at? She says she'll be here. Miss Betty, I was talking to Miss Betty, and you all know Miss Betty's been faithful, and I was talking to her, and I asked the unforgivable question of how old she is and things like that, you know. I'm a nosy person. So I asked her, and basically, you know, she told me, you know, gave me a little bit of her testimony, and then I was trying to encourage her, but I got more encouraged out of this, what she said. I said, I'm excited for you guys because you guys are moving into a new building. And she looked at me and I said, you know what, your pastor, he's, you know, you guys are doing a good job. Your pastor is very, you know, very focused on reaching everybody. And she said, brother, she's like, I believe it's all because of missions. And I agree 1,000,000% with Miss Betty. It's because of missions. You know, Brother Stensis, when he preached on Sunday morning, you know, he reiterated that's the heartbeat of the church. It's the heartbeat of God. You understand that this church was started because somebody was called to this place in order to start a church? First Baptist Church in Eaton, Ohio. Somebody was called here. Somebody came here. Somebody surrendered to come here and started working. The thing is that we call it missions and we call ourselves missionaries. But I want to encourage you, it's God's mission. And you need to jump in. We need to jump in and run with God's mission. And you're a missionary. You're called as well as I am. I just want to encourage you tonight to have a different focus on what missions. And it's not just giving. It's going. It's praying. It's doing. It's to reach the lost, and that's the cause. For this cause, what's the cause? So that all may hear and know who our Lord and Savior is. The people that haven't heard. He was talking about the countries where nobody's been. Somebody has to go. Who is that? That somebody may be here tonight. You know, I saw the need in my local area where we were in Mexico. God moved me in a way to go. Not originally from there, but my heart is there. My heart is planted there. You know, I want to encourage you tonight as we kind of get into the message, I to really have that focus as we open up God's Word. This whole Bible is a complete mission. From the time that they sinned till the time that we're in Revelation, it's a complete mission. Who's going to jump in? So, before we get into the message, I want to go back, and now we have prayer cards on our table. They came in this morning. Don't worry, I was praying and fasting. No, I didn't do the fasting. I did the praying, though. Baptists, you know, Baptists say, I had a friend, he's a preacher. He says, I fast 3 times a day in between breakfast and lunch and between lunch and supper. So I'm a good Baptist that way. So, but go to our back table, and if you haven't gotten a prayer card, we have a lot more left, so please go grab one. We have our social media on the back. I want to encourage you, if you guys are on Facebook or Instagram, please follow us, just to have, you know, a little bit of an update. We do send out prayer letters, but with Facebook and Instagram, you guys get a little bit more of pictures and kind of really seeing where we're at. Like I said, we've been in 7 different states already, more than 7,200 miles and all this different stuff. So you guys get to go kind of go along with us as you're following us on social media. Another thing I want to reiterate that I didn't mention, I usually mention, is that I've known my wife since I was 9 years old. And somehow she married me. That is the biggest question in the world. Why did she do that? But my wife and I, you know, we're very close, and I enjoy my wife, and she's been the best help that God has given me so far. And, you know, I don't know who in the world would jump in a car with a crazy little Mexican like me and go on deputation. But she's definitely kept me alive and awake at the wheel. So I'm gonna encourage us tonight. I would like to encourage us tonight to really see what we can get out of God's word tonight. It's not my words, not my thoughts. My opinions should be based off of the Bible, and I don't want to push that tonight. But I want to ask you guys, I'm going to do a little quiz here, a little test. Can somebody remember what the first message was about? I kind of told Brother Chase and Pastor Stanson this last night. I want to kind of point this out before I get into the message. Can somebody tell me the name of the message on Sunday morning? That was Sunday evening, Sunday morning. Brother Stanson's preached it. Anybody? It's the theme. For this cause. Okay. For this cause. Second one, Sunday evening. We're in missions conference. We have to be trying to get something out of it every single service. How to be an effective light. Correct. And then Monday night, Brother Chase's message. Our focus, what was it, Paul's main focus. And then last night, are you running over? Yes, are you overflowing or is your cup runneth over? Yes. And tonight we're going to talk about, is he worthy to serve? And if you really look back and you really get the point of what God is trying to point out this whole entire thing, none of us talk to each other about our messages. But I want to point out, for this cause, show who your God is. David showed who his God was to everybody else in that place. He trusted God so much that he knew that he had a cause and he was going to go out and finish it and fulfill it. You have what Brother Broyle was preaching about. And that was the baseline was compassion, but to share God with other people. If you go back and you look at even what Brother Chase was preaching about, and it's, serve your God in what you do. Get refocused and do it. You have a task ahead of you. Go do it and serve God. And we go look and we look at Brother Claypool's, and his was, does your cup runneth over? You're saved for a purpose, and that purpose is to touch other people. Can you see God's hand moving in this conference so far? Wow, everything is connected, and it's just, it's beyond means. Like I said, we didn't talk about this. And, you know, this is a message that I kind of travel along with and I preach out to. And I'm just like, wow, I'm convicted even before we get up and start getting into this. But God has a message for us and we have to be willing to listen to it. We're just a vessel behind a pulpit just proclaiming what God has shown to us. It's not a divine revelation. It's because God is just saying, hey, show them this. This and this, because usually it was a lesson that was given to us. So I would like for us to open up our Bibles in Revelation chapter 5. This has become one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And growing up, I've read through the Bible several times, but every time I've gone through this chapter, I've never really paid attention to it like I did. Probably last year. And it was pretty crazy because I read the chapter and I started pondering on it. And I wanted to hear other preachers about it. And I went up and I kind of looked it up on YouTube, trying to find some good preachers that were preaching on this topic, trying to see different things. And I stumbled upon West Coast and they had this song that they sang. And every single time I kind of got a little bit more, I got more intrigued on what this chapter was. And now it's just, for me, it's a humbling chapter. And I believe it concludes a little bit more of what his cause is and why we serve the God that we do. So I want to share that with you tonight. Revelation chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to go through the whole entire chapter. Just follow me with your sight. And it said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose its seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, and stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials, full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. What a tremendous chapter. What a chapter that is in the future to come. You know, it's to come. And we're going to be a part of this if you're saved. But I want to point a couple things out tonight that really humbled me and had me refocus on what I'm doing with my time here. And I would like to encourage you to please pay attention and look what God has for us tonight. Don't pay attention to just what I'm saying, but what the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. God, I'm thankful for this opportunity to be in this church, Father God, to hear from you. God, I've enjoyed this missions conference so much, God, and seeing how you've moved in a mighty way to speak to me. And God, I know you have spoken to several people in this church. God, I come to you right now and ask that you would just please work in a mighty way tonight. Let our hearts be humbled and let us make a decision for what you want us to do, God. God, I am just humbled to be your child. Humble to be behind a pulpit and be able to proclaim what you have done in my life. God, I thank you for this time. I ask that you would just please use me as a mouthpiece for you, Father God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as we get into this. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. You know, as I look at Revelation chapter 5, there's a lot of things that are very awesome and very cool and extraordinary. Especially when you hear about these four beasts and the elders and several different things along those lines, and you're just like, what in the world is what? And you're just like thousands times, you know, 10,000 times thousands, and all this different stuff that it's talking about. But I want to point out, just I want to show to you real quick what these beasts are. If you go back just to Revelation chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." I want to ask you a quick question. If you were to see an eagle that had wings, that'd be, common, right? But imagine an eagle that had wings and eyeballs all over. How about a calf with wings and eyeballs all over? How about a man with wings and eyes all over? Pretty crazy stuff. Okay. I pick on lions when they're in the zoo and there's a glass between me and them. I was one of those kids that went up to the glass and just like tap on it until the lion like really gets frustrated and like almost comes and attacks the glass. But a lion with wings and a whole bunch of eyeballs all over flying around in heaven, that's a lot of them. I mean, that'd be crazy looking stuff. I want to point out to you tonight that in my mind, in my perspective, it's just like, if I saw that in reality, I'm running. I don't care if I'm going to try to look at how many eyeballs does it have. No, I'm probably trying to get away from that thing as humanly possible. Because in my mind, it is a monster. In my mind, that thing is scary. I want to point this out to you. Your Father in heaven, even the most scariest thing in the world, is scared of your daddy. Because he's more powerful than him. The Bible says that even the demons know and they tremble. That's your dad, if you're saved. That's the God that you serve. That even the most weirdest creature on this earth or in your mind has to submit to his authority. But in our mind, sometimes God is limited. I want to kind of give you a little bit of perspective on what reality is that your God and your Father is the most powerful being in the whole entire universe, the whole entire world, and all of creation. He created time. He created the universe. He created everything. And that's the person you serve. Sometimes we look at the situation like, man, if I ask God for something, no, he provides everything for you. Can you imagine every breath, every blood cell in your body comes from the blessing of God? You know, I would imagine John being in the midst of all this and seeing all this, he was probably had a lot of questions of seeing all this, these things in the vision as he's going through. You know, and he looks and he sees this lamb. And we can all identify who the lamb was because we know that he was slain. He was from the lion of, he's the lion of Judah and from the root of David. And we can even see that because even John, in John 1:29, it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." And there's several references in the Bible where Jesus is talked about as being the Lamb. We can identify Jesus Christ here in this chapter as being that Lamb that stood up in the midst. Now, I want to explain to you that this book and the seven seals are what we would qualify as being the seals of the purification is when the tribulation is going to start. So the first seal is broken, then you have horsemen that start doing all this different stuff that happens. And I don't want to get too much in depth in that. I want to use a practical application tonight. But what I want to us to see is Jesus Christ was the only one in order to stand up in the midst and to say, I have given them sufficient time in order to accept me, in order to open the first seal, in order to break that beginning of judgment and the beginning of the purification of the world. Thank God he is long-suffering. Because the one that sacrificed on the cross, that gave his life, that gave his blood, that gave everything up for you is the one that says, I've given them sufficient time and enough opportunities, and now the judgment starts. Talk about an amazing mentality. But he is worthy, and his blood was worthy for us to be cleansed. If you look, in verse 4, John's approach to when this loud angel is proclaiming, who is worthy to open up the book? Can you imagine this huge muscular angel just standing in the midst of heaven and just yelling, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one is able to say anything. No one is even able to make a peep due to, I can't open it. I'm not perfect. I have nothing to bring to the table. And we see John's reaction in verse 4, and it says, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. Do you understand how powerful this book was? You couldn't even look at it. This book is so probably so perfect that it's just, you can't even get close to it. Imagine just not even looking at it. And that's how powerful this book is. Now, Christian, I want to ask you today, if you remember that day when you were so hopeless because you realized that you were not perfect enough in order to go to heaven. Do you remember that day when you found out because of your sins you were this far away from going to heaven? It didn't matter how good you were. It didn't matter what you've done in your life. You were this much short of the glory of God. Meaning that you cannot go to heaven because you're not perfect. I bet in this state, John had a lot of questions that ran through his mind. But what's going to happen if nobody opens up the book? Christian, I want to take you back to that day where you knelt before the Lord Jesus Christ and you realized that you were hopeless without him. That the only question in your mind is, how can I be saved? How? What is my remedy? What can I do? When somebody tells you, you're going to spend eternity in hell because you're a sinner. And then what? Is there any good news to that? And in the midst of that person talking to you, they go in and they say, but Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for you and for me, and he came to take away all your sins. I believe that was the same reaction, because you look at how John reacted in verse 4. He says, and I wept much because no man was found. But if you look in verse 5, it says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Do you remember that time when that person came to you and say, you don't have to pay for your sins, Christian, or you lost person. Jesus Christ will take them for you, and he will make you perfect before his Father because of his sacrifice. When there was no answer, he was your answer. And the thing is that not only that, but he comes out boldly and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You understand how bold that statement is? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Talk about a perfect person. And that was all because he was willing to sacrifice himself. That's because he was willing to be taken as a lamb, to be slaughtered for something that he didn't commit, but something that you committed and that I have committed, because he loved you so much. He has gotten, he took that and he said, if you ask me to forgive you from your sins, I'll do that, because I'm the only one that can. Same way he walks up in the middle and grabs the book, saying, I'm the only one that can do this. I'm the only one that says, this is the last opportunity for the world. He pops open the first one. Same thing that happened in your life and that happened in my life. Sometimes Christians, we get into this numbness of, yeah, I'm a Christian. But we think that we've done it on our own. You're like, oh, I don't believe that, Brother Gavino. Well, sometimes we live that way. Fortunately, because salvation was given to us, and what is the exception? Why are other people the exception? Why don't we share it? If it was passed down to you, why don't you pass it on to somebody else? He was our only answer in that time. I want to kind of look at, in verse 12 and verse 13. It says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. But in verse 13, if you go to the last part of it, it says blessing, honor, and glory and power. You know, he is worthy for us to be proclaiming what he has done for us. And we see one thing, right, that's described here is that's blessing. And the definition of blessing in a simple form is make happy. Next one is honor. And the definition for that is respect. Glory, to magnify. And power is doing or performing anything. Christian, I want to ask you tonight real quick. I know I only have a short period of time left, but when we say God is worthy in my life because he is my God, he is my Father, he is who I worship, are we blessing God with what we do with our lives? Are we making him happy? Do we honor him? Do we respect him and give him a position in our life in order to reign and rule? Do we glorify him? Do we truly magnify who he is in our life? Do we give him the power that he deserves in our life? Do we allow him to do or perform anything that he wants to in our life? If he is worthy enough in order to save you, to take you from where you were, to clean you up, to take away all your sins, to put a white robe on you and say you're perfect in the eyes of my Father. My question to you tonight, Christian, is if he's worthy to do that, then is he worthy for you to serve him? If he's worthy to be, oh God, yes, thank you, I'm going to heaven. Is he worthy for you to wake up and to know more about him? Is he worthy for you to ask and to pray to him? Ask him for things. And the thing is that it's been referenced almost in every message throughout this week, but Isaiah 6:8, this is actually my life verse. It says, also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You understand, Jesus Christ did his part. He came down, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But this call is still active today. Whom shall go, or whom shall I send, and who will go? And there's nobody that says, here am I. Or there's one, or there's two. But the thing is that Christ gave you everything that you know. You will spend eternity with him in a mansion. I don't care about the mansion. I can just have a shack and be with him in heaven. But guess what? That's a plus. You get a mansion. You get to walk down a street of gold. I don't need that. I just want to be with the Father, to be with the Son. But all these things are added on, and it's a blessing. We have the best part of the deal. Jesus Christ died, and we get all the rewards for it. Because you accepted it. But the thing is that the question is he worthy enough for you to give your life up for him? To give your life up and say, God, whatever you want to do with me, I will do it because you died on the cross for me. Without you, I am nothing. Without you, I can't go into heaven. Without you, I am without anything. I am hopeless. But the thing is that we have been disconnected, Christian, to the point of sometimes we get on this thing like, oh, this is my Christian duty. Get out of that mentality. Do it because you love your Lord and Savior and because he saved you from your sins. You were hopeless, dead in trespasses and sins. And he took you from that, made you a child, and gave you a mansion. So you're a walk on the street of gold. And you get to be a perfect person in the eyes of the Lord. But yet when we come down to saying, what will you do about it? It's a, well, you have the best end of the deal. Will you just give a little bit more for him? Will you do a little bit more? Will you trust him? If you trusted him in order with your faith, in order to say, I'll let you wipe away all my sins and I won't go to hell because I know that you're not gonna lie to me, why won't you trust him with your life? Why won't you trust him with your finances? Why won't you trust him with what he has called you to do? There's people out in this world next to you in other countries that are dying that do not know where they're going to go or where they're going to spend eternity. And they're looking for it in a bottle. They're looking for it in drugs. They're looking in homosexuality and all this different stuff. And there's nobody that's standing up and saying, God, you're worthy for me to serve you and for me to go out and tell that person that is looking in the wrong area. It's because we have a lack of compassion. But thank God somebody had compassion on you and on me. Because I didn't deserve that compassion. But thank God somebody thought that God was worthy enough for him to serve him. Amen. Thank God that somebody stood out in the midst and say, hey, don't go there. Guess what? You're not completely hopeless because there is a person and it's Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's worthy enough for you to give your life to. Everything that we have is a blessing from God. And thank God that he's worthy in order for us to trust in for salvation. But I want to encourage you tonight. He is worthy to serve. If you give your all to him, you won't regret it. Yes, there's going to be a bumpy road. I'm not going to lie. But your faith will increase on your God. And he will show himself every single time. And you'll say, wow, can't believe that's the God that I serve. You can ask any of us missionaries and what God has done in our lives. And it is fantastic. I want to encourage you tonight, Christian, jump in. Jump into God's mission. He is worthy to serve. He is worthy for you to give your all to. It's your reasonable sacrifice. It's your reasonable duty. I just want to encourage you. God's given so much for you. Why can't you just give him a little bit back and just say, God, I'm nothing without you. Here's everything for me. The altar's going to be open tonight. It was a great missions conference. I want to encourage you, please, please listen to God. Will you serve him in everything that you can? Because he's worthy for it. With every head bowed, every head closed, preacher.
every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe there is somebody tonight, as Brother Gavina was preaching. Maybe you've been trusting in your works. Maybe you've been trusting in a religion, being a good person. And maybe tonight, you'd be honest with yourself. You'd be honest with the Lord. In your heart, you say, I'm not sure if I died today where I would go. I'd like to think I'd go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if I died today where I would go. Friend, if you're here tonight and that's you, and you know in your heart is speaking, that's me. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. Could I pray for you tonight? My prayer can't save you, but I would like to pray for you. If you're here this evening, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to call you out. I just want to pray for you tonight. Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. Just slip it up and put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Someone else. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today where I would be. I'm not sure. Someone else, just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Friend, if you raised your hand, we'd be so happy to take the word of God, not our opinion, but God's word, and show you how to be saved. Is that something you would like? To know for sure that heaven is your home? We'd love to take the word of God and show you how to be saved. If you raised your hand, you meant that. You said, I'm not sure. And you would like to know that tonight. Everybody else, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one else is looking about. But if you raised your hand tonight, you said, that's me. I'd like to know how I can be saved. Would you just look at me right now? If you really meant it, would you just look at me? Could we have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved? Would that be all right? Nobody else is looking around. I'm going to have somebody come to you right now, and they're going to take the word of God and just help you to know how you can be saved, all right? Somebody else. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure. I'd really like to know. Christian, what about you? What about you? When you think about what Jesus Christ has done for you, is he not worthy to serve? Is he not worthy to say, Lord, here is my life. It's yours. Is he not worthy to say, Lord, here is my finances. It's all yours. Lord, you're worthy in all that you've done. Maybe tonight God has spoken to hearts. And it's time to really surrender to God because he truly is worthy. Tonight, if we could just stand quietly to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one else is looking about. The piano's just going to be playing softly. Maybe tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? The altar's open. Lord, here I am. Whatever you want from me, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy to serve. Lord, you're worthy to send me wherever you'd want me to send me. Lord, you're worthy to ask anything of me. Is he worthy to you? Would you be willing to give your life to say, Lord, whatever you want? Would you be willing to give your children? Lord, here's my family. Lord, if you'd like to use them, I surrender them to you. Lord, here's my job, my finances. Lord, it's all yours. For you are worthy. How can we hold back when he's given everything for us?